Psalms 119:89. Turn to your neighbor and say, that settles it. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Amen. Now, as y'all know, I have a saying that I picked up from my dad. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You know, I believe a lot of people would be a lot better off if they would take this attitude. Today, so many, even ministers, are even professors in seminaries and so forth, they are not taking the Word of God literally. In fact, some of them are now even teaching that they don't know whether it's the inspired Word or not. You know, that's why, if preachers are up preaching that, no wonder people are not getting anything. No wonder they don't see any answers to prayer. No wonder they don't see any blessings in their life. Now, I want to take apart this saying, you know, God said it, okay? God said it. Well, 119:89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Now, that's no problem. He said it. He's not taking it back. It's not going to change. God spoke it, and he doesn't change. You know, one of the critics of our Rhema, because they say, some people, some of the critics say, that we believe and take the word of God literally. And I'm always saying, well, what in the world are you even reading the Bible for if you're not taking it literally? Then it's just another book to read. Hello. You know, the truth is, if we would learn to realize that the Word of God is settled in heaven. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, why do we want to take the Word of God literally? Well, the reason is because he tells us exactly what he will do for us. I mean, just like 1 Peter 2:24, we all know it. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that having died to sins might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Now, you find out that a lot of people, you know, even church people, they will take the first part of that verse literally. They have no problem. Evangelicals have no problem. Even some spirit-filled people have no problem taking the first part of this verse literally. You know, they have no problem being God. Jesus died for their sins. But when it comes to that last part of that scripture, they change their tune. By whose stripes were healed. Now they go into some rigmarole. Well, we don't know whether it's God's will to heal us or not. Well, if he already said he bore his sins on a tree, and that we're taking that literally, and then we're saying that that's his will to save us, and in the same scripture it says by whose stripes we're healed. I don't get it. Any of y'all understand what I'm trying to say to you? But how many of you have seen people like that? You know, they won't take that. They say, well, maybe that means that Jesus is healing you spiritually. And that's what some of them will say. I've heard that. And I think for just a moment, I said, well, wait a minute. That doesn't coincide with Paul's writings at all. Because he said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is new in Christ, he's a new creature. New creation. That doesn't talk anything about healing. It says that the old doesn't exist anymore, and it's a new creation. So if we're made a new creation, and because of what he did, then by his stripes we're healed. So if you want to receive healing that's mentioned here, you got to believe that verse literally. You know, taking the Word of God literally puts you in position to receive what it says. The reason that some people that you see that are Christians and they seem to be here today and over here tomorrow and over here, and they get a little blessing and then they don't have no blessing again. It's the reason is because they're wishy-washy in between. They're taking part of the word literally and the rest of it they're wondering about. And that's why they're I call them roller coaster Christians. You see them one day and they're up, and you see them the next day they're down. And you see, the day you catch them, they're down. They don't know whether they're taking the Word of God literally or not, you know, because everything didn't go like they thought it should. You know, there's no doubt in anybody's mind. They'll say, oh, yeah, it's unchanging. It will remain the same forever. Now, the question is, if it's settled in heaven, is it settled with you? God said it, I believe it. Now, everybody agrees, it's forever settled in heaven. What about with you? Is it settled with you? Is it forever settled? See, you got to decide in your heart what you believe concerning the Word of God. You know, don't make excuses for why you can't have what the Word says. You know, some people say, well, you know, if I have faith like Brother Hagin had, well, the Bible says you can have the same kind of faith. Or, you know, people always say, well, if I was like so-and-so or so, hey, you can get there the same way they did. If people want to talk about my dad, because they called him the modern day father of faith, and he didn't like that, but they did it anyway. And so, if you know, and they said, man, if I just have faith like Brother Hagin. And I tell them all the time, I said, you can if you'll take the Word of God literally. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He just kept hearing the Word of God. He had faith in the Word of God. He believed what God said it. He believed it, and that settled it. He didn't have, there wasn't any question marks. Have you ever been talking with somebody about the Bible, and all of a sudden, you're being dogmatic about the fact this is what the Bible says, and they start saying, yeah, but you know, so-and-so said that he thought that God meant this. Or they'd say, now, I don't know, you know, I heard Brother so-and-so, and he's a famous preacher, and he was saying that maybe it's this way. Well, since when do we listen to people that are trying to explain God's word when he said already it's forever settled? So if it's forever settled, it's settled. There is no change in it. I don't care whether you like it or not. I've heard people say, well, now I think this is what God meant when he said that. Well, God meant what he said and said what he meant, and that's it. It's settled. The Bible says it's forever settled. Okay? You know, you've got to believe God's word before you can ask and receive. I mean, you know, Mark 11:24, we know that, 23:24, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe, trust them, you'll have them, you know. Well, you got to believe that. You know, some people have the idea that if you ask God for something long enough, it'll happen. No, it don't work that way. You know, how many of you as kids and we as parents have had it happen to us, and we did it when we were kids probably, we keep on hounding our parents about something or our grandparents until they finally give in. Anybody ever done that beside me? My grandma, I was the only grandson she had, and so I could, you know, I would just keep on with Grandma. I would keep on and on and on. And finally, she'd say, okay, let's go buy that truck. The little truck I wanted. I saw at Cressy's there in Sherman. you know. Now, some people think that's what you do with God. You just keep on bugging him enough, he'll finally give it to you. No, he's already said it's yours. He said, expect me to do it for you. Believe that I've already said it's yours. See, you have to believe what God's word says in order to receive. To receive salvation, you had to believe salvation was for you. To receive healing, you got to believe that healing's for you. To receive deliverance, you got to believe that deliverance is for you. To receive protection, you got to believe that protection is available. To receive provision, you got to believe that provision is for you. Some people will say, well, God's word is forever settled, so God's in control. Well, yes and no. He's not in control down here. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not just talking about one local body. I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus. That's all the saved people. Everybody that's born again, that's a part of the ecclesia, the called out ones. Because when Christ died, he said all power is given to me both in heaven and earth. And he turned around and gave the power to the church on earth. That's why it's so important to understand who you are in Christ and the believer's authority. Right? You know, some people say, well, it's forever settling. They think God said it, then it automatically happened. No, you have to believe the word in order to experience it. What the word says belongs to you. You know, this Bible, you can believe that it's forever settled in heaven. And it can lay on your end table or your coffee table. Oh, man, there's the Bible. God said it there. That's the word of God. But as long as it lays there and you talk about being the word of God, it won't do anything for you. It's the word of God. It's forever settled. But it won't do a thing for you. It's just another book laying on your coffee table. Now, some of you are looking at me funny, but it's the truth. It never does any good until it's in you. It has the potential to work for you, but it will not work for you until you read it, get it inside of you, and believe that it is forever settled with you. It's settled with God. Okay? The only way that it's going to do you any good is when you open it up and you begin to read it and you see. Some of them can see that I got tape here. See where that is? And then that's where I do a lot of reading, or where I did a lot of reading. And this is just one of my Bibles. I got another one that I can't carry anymore, but it's all marked up. But if you can't mark in your Bible, throw it away and get one you can. Amen. Oh, I wouldn't throw the word of God. No, it's just paper. It becomes the word of God alive when he gets inside of you. Up until then, it's just words on a piece of paper. Come on. See, now, the word of God, which you put in your heart, will work for you. It's when you have the word in you. See, you can say, yeah, it's forever settled in heaven, but is it forever settled in you? Let me ask you a question. They come in and take all your Bibles away from you. They take all the Bible off of the internets and all that, and it's all that. You don't have anywhere to go read it. How much Bible do you have? You don't have a Bible to go read, and a situation hits you. How many scriptures can you come up with? I mean, that's a thought-provoking question, isn't it? And that, go back to Psalm, says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." But you could say it like this: "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might receive all the blessings that God said belongs to me." You know, in life situations, how many scriptures can rise up out of your heart and then come out of your mouth when the devil begins to put the squeeze on you? That's a good thought, isn't it? That's when you'll find out how much word you got in you or not. You know, you never find out if you really believe God's word until you're facing a situation and there's no way out except God. You're in a African country. This actually happened to me. We landed in the big city. They were going to fly us in a small plane to another city where we're going to do the meetings. Because it's a small plane, we could only take a little bit of our luggage. And now they are going to fly us there. They're going to bring the rest of our luggage by car the next day. And so the pilot starts to land at that airfield. There's a storm coming, and he does a rollout, and we go back, and he says, I'm going to land on this grass field right here. And he dumps us out, and he says, "That's the highway. Go out there and catch a ride." Flag down one of them deals, and he told us, I don't know what they call it anyway, they got a sort of like a pickup with a camper on the back of it, but they pick up people. And go into town and go to this hotel, and then you can get away to get back to where you want to go. Now, he dumps us out there. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The shadows are starting to gather. We're standing out on the side of a road in the middle of a country. We don't even know where we are. All we know is that we're in that country. We don't know where we're at in that country. We don't know anything. And somebody does finally stop. You get in this vehicle, and there's four big old burly guys in there. And you and your partner get in there, and you hadn't been to sleep in 2 days because you flew out of New York. You flew all night. You hadn't been to bed. You might have slept a little bit. And they wake you up ever so often, you know. And anyway, and then we had to walk around London all day because there wasn't nothing else to do. And then we got on the plane. We flew all night to that city. And now we're tired. We're a long way from home. I hadn't had nothing to eat that I liked. Well, I really hadn't had nothing to eat, tell you what. In about six, seven hours, I hadn't had anything to eat since I got off that airplane. Now, we get in there, and these guys start looking at I had my camera case, and I'll tell you how long ago it was. It was a 35-millimeter camera case, and I had all the lens and everything, you know, for taking the pictures to bring them back. And they started eyeing that, and they were eyeing our luggage. You find out if you really believe what the Bible says. Because I had said when we walked off that plane in the big city, I grabbed my partner's hand and I said, "While we're in this country, we're protected by the angels. And no harm shall come near us, but plague shall overtake us. And I said my prayer. Now we get in that, and the devil's saying to you, y'all finna get beat up right now. See, it ain't gonna work. And I started saying underneath my breath, I didn't get my Bible out. I just started saying, no weapon formed against me can prosper. And I quoted that about three times, and then I had to quote, I don't have the spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Now, I can take care of myself, but not against three guys that are three times bigger than I am, you know. And so I said, no weapon formed against me prosper, under my breath. No weapon formed. No, I'm not going to give him a spirit of fear. And I said that about three times. And then I heard inside of me, hey, you got that candy, that big old candy bar that you bought. And I said, yeah, I do. And I heard in my spirit, get it out, break off a bite and take a bite of it and then offer it to them. So I did. I broke a small bite off. It's one of the big, you know, one of the big old candy bars. And I eat it, and then I offered it to them. And their frowns, and they were jabbering to one another. But, boy, it all changed. They started smiling, and they were eating that candy. And, you know, they loved it. But I want to tell you what. You find out if you really believe what you believe. When you faced, you find out if you got any scripture inside of you when you face a situation like that. Hello? Some of you may never face that, but you're going to find out what, you're going to find out if you really believe what you believe if you face some of these situations. Come on. See, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. You got to believe it. And then you got to settle it in your heart. James 1, 6 through 7, NLT says, but when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to answer, for the doubtful mind is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. You know, some people can't make up their mind. You ever been with somebody to a restaurant? And they order, and then another person order, and they say, oh, no, wait a minute, I think I want to change my order to that. And then another person, no, I think I want to change my order. Anybody ever been there? You know, as long as they're doing that, they're not going to get no food. I've been with some guys, you know, a bunch of us guys, and I said, make up your mind or else shut up and let her go turn our order in, and then she can come back and get yours because I'm hungry. That's back when I was, you know, 18, 19 years old. I was single, you know. But I got tired of him. He never could make up. He all the time couldn't make up his mind. He is always bringing up the rear. Everything we did, he's always behind. He's always behind. He is one of our buddies. And all of us, we had a special name for him anyway. But see, we need to get the word settled in our heart and our mind so that when we faced with these situations, it doesn't mean no good to be wavering out there. I'm in a situation and I got to know for sure that the word is settled in my heart. God said it. I believe it. It's settled with me. So I start quoting it to myself. You know, when you have the word settled in your heart, then you know what you're going to receive. I knew. The minute I started quoting those scriptures, I knew that I was protected. Now, I didn't know how it was going to happen. I didn't know what was going to happen. But that's when the Lord directed me to give them the candy. Now, I had bought the candy for whenever I had to go eat, and I didn't like anything they were serving me. I could go back to my room and I could eat that candy. I'll tell y'all funny. When I go overseas, I take peanut butter and crackers. Right, Dave? There's our pilot there. He knows I'm always taking, because my wife told me I need to expand my palate, and I told her my palate is just the way I like it. Don't you guys laugh at me. Y'all are the same way. But you see, we need to realize the benefits of having the word settled in our hearts. When we have the word settled, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's it. That settles it. Then when we face the situation, there's no more wishy-washy. This is it. It's settled. It's settled in heaven. I believe it. It's settled in my heart. And, you know, when you have the word settled in your heart, nothing can move you. You ever had somebody harassing you and just picking on you, and finally you come to the point and say, okay, we're going to settle this once and for all. Now, I got a few people shaking their head. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever been there, done that? See, with the word, that's where we have to get. Mr. Devil, this is settled once and for all. Don't matter what you said, this is it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. It says that his word is forever settled in heaven. It is, and I believe it. And it's forever settled in my heart. So therefore, all the blessings of God are coming to pass in my life, and there's not anything you can do about it because it's been settled. Amen. You know. Now, sometimes, have you ever had a friend? I've never done it, but I've had friends that they had to go to court to settle the dispute. You ever seen anybody, ever had any friends do that? You know, you go to court, you settle it. When the court rules on the matter, that's it. Now, I haven't had to do it for me personally. I did it for the ministry with that building right over there on the corner. When I moved in that building in 1976, we took it out of receivership. It was being repossessed by the bank. And we got it and the 6 acres behind it and half of RMA. That's what we got first time out. Now, there was a carpet business in one corner. And in the corner over there, for you that know, where the project managers and Patty Harrison's office is on that northeast corner, there was a dentist in there. Well, I needed the building, and I told him, I said, when your contract comes up, you're going to have to move. Well, his take on it was that the contract said it at the end that it could be negotiated. And he said, the only person that has any negotiable power is me. You don't have any negotiable power as the lender or as the leaser. The leasee is the only one that has. And I said, I think you're sadly mistaken. But anyway, he wouldn't get out, so I had to get the attorneys. And so we went through the rigmarole, you know, doing all the stuff. And so our attorney, we took it here, and the judge said, now, he called our attorney into his quarters, said, I'm going to rule against this, although we got all the law that says that you're winning, but there has never been a case of a lessor and a leasee in Oklahoma. We had all the other states around, and he said, I'm going to rule in his favor. I want you to appeal this to Oklahoma State Supreme Court. And he went through and told him what he was going to tell them over there and all that. And finally, it got through that, and we won because he didn't have a leg to stand on. But it took so long, he was able to build his building. And one of the reasons I wanted him out is because I'm paying all his, I don't know, the guy that leased it to him must have been crazy, because he's paying all of his utilities. You know how much water a dentist's office uses? and electricity. And I'm paying all of that. In fact, his lease, the money he paid me for rent for the month didn't cover all of his utilities. But he had to get out. But by that time, he built his own building, and he was ready to move anyway. But you see, when the court ruled, that was it. It was settled. Now, there is precedence in the state of Oklahoma for lessor and lessee and so forth and so on. Hey, that's the way law works, y'all. But it works the same way with God. See, it's been to the high court of heaven, and it's been settled. You see, it's settled. So now let's settle it with ourselves. When we settle it with ourselves, then John 15:7 becomes a reality in our lives. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will. In other words, if you abide in me, all right, it's set forever settled. My words abide in you, that's forever settled. Now, what do you want done? It's that simple. Somebody said, it can't be. Yes, it is. Say it with me. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Did anybody get anything out of this little tonight? You know, sometimes we need, it's just some of these little simple things sometimes become very, what's the word I want to use here? Very profound. There, somebody helped me out. Thank you. I appreciate that. I thank you, Miss Willeen there. Help me out. Thank you, Willeen. Hey, sometimes simplistic things are said, and yet when you start thinking about it, very profound. It's settled in heaven. Is it settled with you? And how much of it have you hid in your heart? If you didn't have the Bible, how much of it going to come out? You know, anytime I get on an aircraft, anytime I get in a car going anywhere, I claim the 91st Psalm. You said you bless our going out and our coming in. No harm shall come near us. No plague shall come near my dwelling. See, you got in every situation, you got to come up with some scripture, because when you come up with that scripture, you got it settled right there. Boom, that's it. Boom, that's all. That's all there is to it. Hello. Everybody stand up. Let's thank God for his word. It's forever settled. And thank God it's forever settled with you. In your heart it's settled. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I don't hear very much praying, but I trust you're doing it silently. Amen and amen and amen. I trust you got something out of this tonight. It's just a simple little Bible lesson. My daughter tells me, she says, Dad, your Wednesday nights are better than any of your other sermons. But I don't know. On Wednesday night, I just seem to, to me, it's just like a gathering. I'm just here with my family, just talking to you. That's, you know, about stuff for life. Listen, if you happen to be in here and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you don't even know what we're talking about. But once you find him as your personal Savior, everything in your life changes. And we want you to know him before you leave here tonight. If you happen to know what it is to serve God, you know all about this, but you know you're just not where you should be with him, and you need to rededicate your life, or you go to church like a lot of people have been going all their life, but they don't know whether they've ever accepted Christ or not. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, as we close tonight, come to the ladies over here and the men over here. If you'll come and talk to them, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. If you need prayer for anything, holy, you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you want somebody to agree with you for a job, your finances, or whatever you need prayer for, if you'll come down here, they'll pray with you. Our prayer partners will pray with you, and things will change. Amen. Did we have any first-time guests tonight? I don't think we did. All right. Praise the Lord. Hey, don't forget all of the announcements. Be sure and look at the church bulletin for all the things that's going to be going on around here. Okay. Sunday morning right here. Be here Sunday morning. And at 9 o'clock school of the Bible, that's where everything's divided up into smaller groups according to age and marital statuses. And you can find some people just like you are in a class that's a smaller setting. Come and then 10 o'clock regular services. Shake hands with somebody and say, it's settled with me. What about you? We'll see you Sunday. God bless. If you need prayer for anything, come to the front right now. God bless.